All right, all right, all right, all right. What up, everybody? It's about 1:30 in the morning. Monday, October 30th. So we are just leaving downtown Riverside and Riverside Municipal Auditorium. Again, I just randomly came to I came to see Devil Driver and Cradle of Filth, and El Nino. Kind of wild, but kind of not. I gotta say this much: El Nino was not good, and that's me honking. And Devil Driver was the shit. Played songs that I was hoping they would play. Like, I wanted to hear them play Meet the Wretched. Obviously, that's one of their best songs, maybe ever. That might be their top song. Grinfucked. I love me some Grinfucked. Before the Hangman's Noose. End of the Line. I Could Care Less. I don't think that's the name of the song, but that's what it goes. What else did they play that I know of? They played Sail. They played. Damn, what song did they end with? Because they didn't end with Meet the Wretched, I don't think. Or did they? Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. Not 100% certain. But they played good. I mean, like old Devil Driver. I really fuck with much of their new shit. And not that I don't fuck with it, I just. Oh, Clouds Over California. That's what they ended with. Or Cloudy Over California, or something like that. Whatever that song's called. To me, Devil Driver was really hot back when Cold Chamber disintegrated and Devil Driver took its place. And they slapped. They were just so different from what Cold Chamber was doing, but it was also hot. It was hot in those days. Now I think the band has kind of just kept the same momentum. Not that they haven't changed their style. There's no breakdown. There's no. So to me, it got a little repetitive listening to a couple of the albums. And then it became like more groovish metal. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that is not my style. So I really like their old, like the first three albums. I think it's Devil Driver, Devil Driver. It's the blue and orange one, and I think it's The Last Kind Words. I think. I don't even know the name of the blue album anymore. But it's good. Grinfucked. Ooh, I like yawn here. Grinfucked is one of my favorite songs off that whole album. So is Before the Hangman's Noose. And I was so happy that they played those songs. Truly phenomenal. Like, I haven't actually listened to that album in a hot minute. Like, I haven't listened to those albums in a hot minute. But I met up with some peoples. Squid, this girl that I've been talking to for off and on throughout the years. And to be honest, I mean, like, she came with some dude that's supposed to be her homie. So I kind of felt third wheeling-ish. And they're good buddies, apparently. But I'm also kind of like, I was third wheeling it. And so it was kind of not fun, like, just to be around. Like, I wanted some FaceTime, like, some FaceTime, but I mean, I don't know. There might be nothing there at all. But nonetheless, I came with them anyways. And as the night unfolded, you know, we ended up getting some drinks. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be here, to be there, be everywhere. But I mean, like, I don't know what her interests are. She's probably not interested in me at all, which is fine. You just test the water. The only thing I can do, and this is what I always do, I mean, when it comes to dating, when it comes to people not being interested, I mean, it's next person up, next runner up. I mean, be interested. I mean, I don't know who she could be possibly talking to, but she probably talking to anybody. But I mean, to me, it's whatever. So. I'm single. She's might be single, and I listen to heavy fucking metal. I just went to go see Devil Driver and Cradle of Filth. And that's not a really big thing. I just kind of went because I was Sunday football. The Raiders are not playing. I had nothing going on. I just kind of was like, I had the day off. I was going to be on board. And I was like, you know what? Let me come out. Because I actually wanted to go to see the Acacia Strain next weekend, which is Sunday. But I'm going to be in town. They're going to be in Santa Ana. I'll be in Vegas. I'm thinking about it going to see them in LA, but it's one of them things like the K-Shirt is the only band on there, and it's way out in LA, and it's Dying Fetus and Despised Icon, and it's like other bands that I'm like don't really care about, and just to me personally, the show is kind of like, I have to go on a Thursday or Wednesday. I'm not sure what day it is. And I just kind of be like, I don't know, man. And I already seen the Acacia. Not like I haven't seen them in a minute. And they're one of my more diabolically fun bands that I like to see. I make movement to go see them. But this one is kind of, I've been lagging it, and I was like, no, but then it's yes, but then it's maybe, but it's maybe, but it's only like if I have the time. Not necessarily the money or desire, it's just, I had to get home early enough, whatever day that is. I had to look maybe tonight or tomorrow, or later today, and see what fucking day they're actually playing in this Halloween fucking mosh. Do I want to go by myself? Bored out of my mind for a couple of bands. Watch the kitchen. Then I gotta come all the way the fuck back. It's like 40 minutes. Do I want to do that on a fucking Thursday? I don't know. I wanted to go see him on Sunday, November 5th. But thank God I was like, oh shit, I'm already booked up to go to Vegas. So that's a no. So I might just miss the whole fucking show. I mean, I don't know. But beyond that, I sent the invite like, hey, thinking about going seeing August Burns Red, Spite, Brand of Sacrifice, and Crystal Lake. I might go to that, but I might invite a whole nother girl, but we'll see what happens. That's coming later this month. Also on the fence, before I get back to this concert that I just went to, is Emir Body Snatcher and We Came As Romans. I don't really care for We Came As Romans, but Emir and Body Snatcher is the shit. And I haven't seen Emir in a minute, and Body Snatcher is what Body Snatcher does. There's a solid hour and a half of fucking fight right there. Like, I'm tempted to pull the trigger on that one, but it's not this Friday, it's the next one. It's November 10th. So I may do it. I may do that one. But, I mean, it depends on if I get somebody to go with. It depends on, again, work. It depends on how I feel the day of, too. I mean, good thing about liking heavy metal shows, sometimes the tickets don't sell. So I can get a ticket day of. Like, I got a ticket for this Cradle of Filth show, like, today. Like, at, like, 2 o'clock, and the show started at like 6, and I was like, yo, that's what's up. It was a little bit expensive, but that's what's up. there's a yacht here. Kind of tired. But back to it. So I watched Savage Engagement or some shit. Savage Enterprise. I don't know who they were. Supposedly they're from Costa Rica. They're way over here in California Plain. Now, they're just your generic heavy metal band. And then Savage Encore, maybe. I don't know who it is, but I was like, okay. Like, cool, whatever. They didn't really do anything. They didn't move my needle one way or the other. Like, I would never go to Apple iTunes and listen to their shit. Never. Not because it's not good, not because I didn't like them, not because he sucked. But they just did not move the needle for me one way or the other. I was like, okay. Like, they're okay. Just a band. To me, they're just a band. And after them was Black Satellites, which I was like, okay. Like, they're not bad, but they're not good either. And when I mean they're not bad and they're not good, I mean they're just... To me, they just... Like, they didn't move the needle for me one way or the other. Just, again, really generic. I don't know what's up with these stage people. Like, they just do not kill the stages. And I get it. If I was in a band and I was in front of people, they probably would be like, yo, this band sucks. And honestly, they probably would be right. But doesn't mean that those bands didn't suck either. I watched them. I probably never listened to Black Satellites. As a matter of fact, if they were to be touring with, I'd be like, yeah, you could, like, skip their whole set, probably. And that's nothing against Black Satellites or nothing against Savage Enterprise, Savage Ensemble, or whatever they were. They just didn't do nothing for me. They didn't really do anything for me. And I was like, oh, shit, Il Niño is playing. And I was like, kind of, okay, like, you know, like, kind of okay, like, I listened to El Nino back, I was in high school, when they dropped that song, and I know that song, and they don't fucking play it. So, El Nino, you little bastard-ass motherfuckers, how do you not play What Comes Around? That's the only song I know from you fucks. As a token treat song. Like, what the fuck is the matter with you? What the fuck is the matter with you? You know, like, what the fuck? Like, are you serious? And I don't know if they have the same lead singer. I thought the lead singer had, like, long dreads. I could be thinking of Shadow, so I get those bands often confused. I don't know if they've gone through several lineup changes. Dozens of lineup changes over the years. I know for a while, Il Niño wasn't a band, and then they just randomly came back. Like, Shadow Falls was a band, and then they disappeared, and then they randomly, like, came back. And, like, I like Shadows Walls. Like, they're old shit. I really liked it. I listened to their album probably like 30 times when I was younger. And then they just stopped. And then I never got back into them. Like, Il Niño kind of did the same thing. And I just looked on Apple iTunes like, hey, what the fuck's up with Il Niño? They haven't come out with shit since like 2014 and like an album. And they might not ever come out with another album because why the fuck would you? But with all that said, I mean, El Niño played okay. They just didn't play the one song that I did know. And it's not that I didn't, like, I was mad that they didn't play it or anything, but I was like, yo, this is the only song that I know. They did not play it. So with that, I gotta give them, like, a thumbs down. Not a two thumbs down, but more on the, like, you know, like, fuck you guys. Like, I will not waste my money or time listening to Il Niño music, like, ever. Like, how are you going to do that? they play like 9 other songs, and one of them could have been whatever comes around or whatever. And they just like, it's like, like, okay, like, whatever. And then back to Devil Driver. Now, I haven't seen Devil Driver since I went to go see them with Hatebreed with my brother. I mean, it's probably like 7-8 years ago. With Hatebreed. It was Hatebreed and Devil Driver. And that show was lit. And Hatebreed got kicked off stage because too many fights in the crowd. And, you know, much to the chagrin of me, I was like, fuck. That basically was a Devil Driver show with Hatebreed sprinkling in music. And it's like, fuck, man. But I haven't seen Devil Driver since then. And that was at the Glass House. And this one is in the Riverside Municipal. And actually, I seen this tour. They played in LA right around my birthday back in October or, you know, or September. And then they randomly, like, continued the tour. But no, then Cold Chamber went on a little tour. And then Devil Driver, like, came back and was like, hey, we're going to do another little couple shows with Cradle of Filth. And actually, I had been seeing the show. I had been seeing it because I was sort of intrigued by it. I've been intrigued by it. Because those are both bands I've listened to. I know their songs. I used to be a big Devil Driver fan. You know, back when they first came out. Like, the first two albums are, like, shit. I really love their shit. Like, their old shit. And then, like, a couple albums went past me. And then, like, I was like, Monsters of the Deep is probably one of my more favorite songs from them. But they won't play it, maybe not. And it was just, I was like, okay, well, you know, like, again, I have actually been inviting this girl, Squid, to shows, like, because I was like, hey, I don't know, just was like, just see what's up. That's all I was trying to do. Just see what's up. Like, I'm not trying to fucking press the issue, but I was just like, let me see what's up. And actually, she's been on my Snapchat feed, and like once in a blue moon, I'll send her messages, like here and there. But I've never really like had the audacity or the gall to like meet up with her. That's not even like my fault. It's just I've been like, I had a girlfriend, and I didn't have a girlfriend, and then I was like, you know, then you kind of forget some people exist on Snapchat, or Instagram, or whatever. I'm not a friend on Instagram. Maybe I will be one day, but it's one of them things, like, on Snapchat, I don't really be talking to people like that. And I was like, the other day, when I went to Cali H, I was looking for somebody to go with me to that show. Particularly a female. Didn't want to go with the guy. I didn't want to go by myself either. So I got real, not desperate, but I was like, oh, let me see. Maybe she'll randomly just be like, yeah, I'll go. And yeah, like, we can go and just fucking kick it. But she didn't answer. She ended up like messaging me real slow on there. And, you know, it's whatever. And, you know, then again, I messaged her to go see if she wanted to go to see Paleface Swiss. Because actually, we had been, like, chatting a little bit on Snapchat. But, I guess she hit me up late. But I was like, you know what, what's your number? I'll text you. You know, because I don't really give a fuck about asking somebody about their number. I don't know if she's going to save my number. I have her number saved. Because I save most people's numbers. But, like, her number in particular, I just saved it because I'm like, okay, well, this is... And I think I hit her up yesterday. I was like, hey, are you going to go to that Cradle of Filth Devil Driver show? I didn't say it. Like, so, like, hey, are you going to go to that Cradle and DD show? And then she hit me up this morning at, like, 8. It was like, no, I'm not going. And at that point, I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I didn't even respond. Then she hit me up at like 11 and was like, my homie has tickets, I'm gonna go. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I will go. And I got home, it was probably like 11. And she was like, hey, who are you going with? I was like, nobody. Like, I don't go to shows with anybody like that. Like, everybody's got their own thing going on. So it's really, if I want to go to see the show or not, it's not necessarily if I can get the squad together. Like, I just go by myself. That's what it comes to. Occasionally, I run into people or, like, I put the group chat. But this wasn't a particular show that, like, on. I have a group chat on Instagram, Circle Pit, that I would have sent, like, hey, you guys go to that. I did send that to Motionless and White Knockloose, but nobody responded, and I didn't give a fuck, because that's Knockloose. But this one, I didn't really, I was like, nah. I did text the homie, I was like, hey, man, there's fucking Cradle of Filth show and Devil Driver show is kind of empty when I first got there. And, so she was like, yeah, I'm going to go. And then she's like, I'm going to get there around 6 or 7. And the show opened up at like 5. So I got here like at like 5:40, just waltzed in and like was like, yo, there's nobody here. And, you know, it gets bringing up to speed on all these bands played. And then like, then Devil Driver plays. And, you know, Devil Driver is good. The only kind of thing I kind of wondering about is this. That's not the first time or second time, but like the third or fourth time he says he's not a hardcore band. He's a heavy metal band. And it's like, cool, bro. Like, okay. Like, and I don't really got a gripe against it because they're a metal band, but what is this beef with hardcore bands? I don't understand it myself personally. But a lot of metal bands probably like his band. Or a lot of hardcore bands like his band. Like, I like his band. If I was in a band, and I was, like, in a deathcore band, like Suicide Silence, like, I wouldn't mind touring with Devil Driver. Like, that'd be kind of cool. But, I mean, like, not if he's talking shit. Like, I'd be like, yo, dude, what the fuck are you talking shit about? Like, I'd already had that conversation, but to me, that's whatever. I mean, that's not a thing, but yeah, they play good. I mean, like, again, they played a bunch of songs that I know and a bunch of songs that I was like, oh, okay, like, those are what I actually wanted to hear. Like, I wanted to hear Meet the Wretches. It's one of my favorite songs, like, from them. I have a few other songs that, like, I really, really like, but they didn't play. But I mean, the main ones. I actually texted Squiddy. I hope they play Before the Hangman's Noose and Meet the Wretches, like my favorite songs from them. And they played both of those songs. And I was like, yes. Yes. Fucking great. And then, you know, and then up next was Cradle of Filth. Now, Cradle of Filth is another one of those bands that I listened to heavy back in like fucking high school days. Heavy. And actually, Cradle of Filth is like probably my black metal baby. Like, I like Demon Borgir and I like a couple of other black metal bands. But it, those bands like Emperor and like a couple of other ones, I just kind of like. I don't really like fuck with. Cradle of Filth and Demon Borgir is like the main bands that I'd like that are black metal. And Lorna Shore actually is now a black metal band. Maybe not even black metal. They're not death metal, but they're more black metal in the vein of black metal. And so I fucked with Cradle of Filth heavy. And my brother never understood it. And actually, when you peel back the layers of Cradle of Filth, because Cradle of Filth to me is a band that it's kind of like four bands in one. First of all, you have to like heavy metal to like Cradle of Filth, to even start. Then you've got the whole layer of it's black metal. So it's a lot of like chorus, a lot of like down tempo, slow tempo parts, a lot of like a lot of instrumentation involved in it. Then you've got Cradle of Filth, is just straight up like a gothic band. Like, they're probably the premier goth black metal, heavy metal band. Like, it's a lot of goth there. And then you got the layer of, like, they're not American. So, you can like them all you want, but it's not like they're doing tours over here, like, all the time. It's like, it's a once in a blue moon thing. So, seeing them is kind of, like, a once in a... It's a, they're not in this local circuit. It's not like Hatebreed. Hatebreed don't even turn around that much. But at least Hatebreed comes around maybe once every other year. Well, Cradle of Filth does not. So you got all those layers mixed in, and then you got kind of the layer of you know. Every song they play is long, so like you can only listen to maybe like, if they're not the headliner, it's like 5, 6, 7 songs at the most. They are the headliner, like I think they play like a dozen songs, and that's it. So there's a lot of factors against Cradle of Filth. Okay, so they got a lot of that going against them, but to be fair, they put on a good show. I mean, I haven't seen Cradle of Filth. I wanted to see them at Sick New World earlier this year, and it really bummed me out that they played at the nighttime. I thought they were going to play in the day. And I wanted to catch them. I just wanted to catch, like, see what they play. Like, I figure they play some old stuff. And actually, they play, like, a good mix of old and new. The songs I know. And I just didn't get a chance to see them at Sick New World. And then I know this tour came around with Devil Driver and Cradle of Filth like earlier, a couple months ago. And I didn't go. And I was like thinking about it then, but I didn't go. And then, you know, it was just a lot of happenstance, a lot of circumstance, a lot of things that just popped up, like, it's okay to sleep here, but it just, I mean, things just kind of, like, fell into place. I wanted to go hang out with this girl, and the whole thing is, I mean, she's a good look, she's pretty, but, I mean, if she's not attracted to me, and she didn't make no effort to hit me up, then I'm just gonna shuffle her to the fucking back of the bus again. Like, if I see her, I see her. If I don't got nothing against her. I mean, sometimes that happens. That would have been really dope to, like, talk to her and stuff. Like, I did, but it was, like, small, very, very small chat. And there's the fact that there's this other guy there, and it's like, and if it, like, not that it was kind of a forced type of deal, but it's really different meeting somebody in person and then, like, getting to know them a little bit. And then, like, hey, what do you want to do this weekend? Like, and you go and hang out, and it's, like, a little bit more cordial versus, like, hey, you going to the show? And it's, like, other people going, and you're kind of, like, third wheeling it. Like, I was, like, so, whatever. But anyways, back to Cradle of Filth. Everything happened in happenstance, and it just happened to show up. And Cradle of Filth played good. The songs I knew were Born in a Burial Gown, The Principle of Evil Made Flesh, Cruelty and the Beast, Her Ghost in the Fog, Nymphetamine, and From the Cradle to Enslave. And I think they played other songs. I just can't think of off the top of my head what they are. I know one other one, but I don't know. It's eluding me because I named off a bunch and I can't really remember.
But, you know, those songs were, it was cool. That's what I wanted to see. I was like, yeah, I want to know if Cradle of Filth plays anything old. Like, I was like, what I wouldn't give to hear Lord Abortion or, you know, some other shit like Cthulhu Dawn. You know, the Ebony Dress for Sunset. You know, just other stuff like that I grew up listening to. Queen of Winter Throned, you know. There's a bunch of songs that they have that I would have been like, yo. Like, I would have been happy to hear. But they played a good set, and they actually have a lot of stuff up there, kind of like Motionless and White, like a lot of costumes. The band comes out all in costumes, and that's kind of cool. This is more on the metal side for me. So I did mosh a little bit to Devil Driver, but I didn't really mosh for Cradle of Filth. I was like, yeah, let me just watch, because I may never see Devil Driver ever again. You know, I'm approaching 40. My moshing days are... I'm just literally waiting for, like, Throwdown, and, like, that's it. And then I'm, like, out of moshing, maybe. And just relegated to fucking watching. And not that I can't do it or don't. But it's like, I'm already getting kind of old. What am I doing? Some young person shit. You know. Like, I don't want to be 50-year-old moshing either. Or 45. Like, that's kind of dumb. So my time's, like, almost at the end here. And there's just a couple of bands that I want to see left. And I think I've satisfied most of those urges. Like Slipknot, Korn, like Lamb of God, Bleeding Through. You know, there's other bands I was like, yo, Bury Your Dead. But Cradle of Filth, I don't know if I was going to mosh them anyways. I was just like, yo, let me just watch. Let me just watch this shit. Because, I mean, that's kind of what it's going to be like in the future for me. And that band is old, too. I mean, Danny Filth's got to be fucking, like, 50, right? I mean, when I was in high school, like, 15 years old, they had to be, like, 20-something, right? So who knows how the fuck old they are now. Late 40s, early 50s. And for that man to go out and be like, still rocking it is crazy. That's crazy work. But that's cool. To me, that's cool. You know. And overall, the two main bands, there was a good experience. Cradle of Filth actually is the better band, I think, between the two. Easily. I give them 2 thumbs up. If you like Cradle of Filth, seeing Cradle of Filth is a treasure. You know. To me, it was just fun. It was a little bit of nostalgia. Was it worth $50? Yeah, but I mean, I could do other dumb shit with $50, like buy beer and like, would I have the same amount of fun? No. I'm actually really happy, like, regardless of how everything went, like, just to see those two bands. And after that, after all of that, we walked over to Pixels, because they were like, hey, you want to get a drink? I was like, yeah, okay. And I got to hang out, and I got to talk to Squid a little bit, but I mean, I don't know, it was not like, I've been on worse dates. I've been on, like, I met people in real life that are hyped up, and it's like, damn. And it's not necessarily anything cold, nothing against her, nothing against me. It's just like the setting was just off. So I don't know if I'll ever get a text like, hey, what are you doing? Like, unless I'm really proactive about shit, which, I mean, I guess I could be if I really, 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 really was hounding it. But I'm not fun to do all that. Like, I put myself in a position to be in front of somebody, and it's like, eh. But there was somebody else there, so I was like, I don't know. But overall, the show was dope. And then we moseyed on over to Pixel's Bar in Riverside. And it was cool in there. I was just chapping it up, you know, about other shows I want to go to and just things that's going on. And it's kind of like, okay, like, I gave her a hug. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a friendly hug. It's kind of like a, yeah, I don't know. But I'm not deterred because I got other, there's other females out there. So there's a lot of other shit. And who knows? Maybe she'll just randomly text me tomorrow and say how I'm doing. Which I'll probably answer, but I mean, until set time as I have a girlfriend, I don't have one. And that's that show. So I'm gonna end this episode here. Or not end it. And this, I'll probably come and chat up something else as soon as I get. Oh, the Raiders play. And I'm also going to the Raider game. So maybe I'll talk that soon. But that's where we're at. Hang tight. I'll be right back. All right. So let's wrap up this episode here. I'm back. Today is now Thursday. It's about 6 in the morning. It's now November 2. I am not going to go to the Acacia Strain, Despised Icon, Dying Fetus show, which I'm a little sad about, but I'm not that sad because the Acacia Strain, I've seen them 2 or 3 times this year, and I kind of feel like, for myself personally, that's okay. They're not the main headlining band, and I have seen them enough. So there's just a couple of factors. Today I'm working far, I'm going to Palm Springs. The show is in LA. It's a Thursday. If the show was Saturday, probably could have been. I wanted to go Sunday, but I completely forgot that I have Raiders to attend to, which is a great segue into where I'm going now. But I will not be in attendance for the Acacia Strain this evening, which is a 2 thumbs down bummer. But moving right along, my Raiders, what the fuck? So after Monday, we got beat up by the Detroit Lions. As it was, my neighbor texted me like, man, the coach has got to go. And I wasn't in complete agreement with the coach being fired because I don't actually believe that the coach was the reason. Jimmy Garoppolo sucks. I mean, he was not even a shell of what he could have been or should have been. The player he once was, and it's painfully obvious that he was only good because he was on a really good team in the San Francisco 49ers. And you put him on a fairly average team and he looks god awful. And none of the defense respected him. Not one defense we played this year respected his ability. The sack totals went sky high. And that's simply because teams knew that the ball was not going to go deep. Teams knew that stopping the run basically stopped the Raiders' offense. And Jimmy was only going to make a handful of plays a game, like 2 or 3, to even keep us competitive. Not that our O-line is solid. Not that we've got this amazing run game. But all of those 3 factors combined, our offense just could not, would not do anything. And so, I guess it does fall to the coach's job to make those adjustments. McDaniels shied away from Davante Adams all the first half. You know, that game against the Lions. He shied away from starting AOC or Hoyer the second half of that game. So, I understand he went down with his ship the way he was going to go down with his ship, if he knew he was going down with the ship. I understand it to that extent. Do I believe we could have won that game? Yes, there was two touchdowns, essentially, that Garoppolo underthrew one in the end zone to Davante Adams, and it was picked off. And then, and that's you got to give all the credit to the Lions. The Lions show up to play too. But in this game of injuries, I mean, that's really what cost McDaniels his job, was essentially that ugly pick that Garoppolo threw. And I'm not saying AOC would have done any better, because I don't believe he would have. AOC is not our answer long term. Obviously, we're going to have to get a new coach. With the new coach, probably we want to get their own quarterback. Probably going to end up drafting a quarterback. I can see us easily only winning another two or three games. Saving the season. I think people believe we're going to save the season. I don't think we're saving the season. What I think we're doing is just moving on from what was going on, because we were not going to go anywhere. Anyways. And so, this decision to fire McDaniels and essentially bench Hoyer the rest of the way, to me personally, I'm already looking at, like, okay, well, who are we drafting? We need a quarterback. Are we going to get Caleb Williams? There's a lot of hype around that kid. Again, I don't care for the hype. I wanted Rodgers. Thank God we didn't get that. Thank God he went to the Jets. I did want Lamar Jackson. I did want him. You know, do we bring in Dak? If Dak doesn't do anything this year. And all of that questions at quarterback, and we play in a division where Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert exist, like, already. The Broncos have the same problem we do. Is Russell Wilson worth saving? You know, like, what are they doing? What are we doing? Again, I don't know who we're drafting, but it needs to be a quarterback. I think we should draft two quarterbacks, because we got Adams. To make him happy, we need to show that we're all in on certain players. Quarterbacks. Fix this problem. And then we need to, I believe, bolster our offensive line. And essentially turn this thing around next year. And it's already looking like a next year type of deal for me. Like, the Raiders, it's always a next year type of deal. I think we're close to, we're close to figuring some stuff out. And when I mean we're close, like, Derek Carr is not the answer. There are a lot of people on Raiders Twitter and Raiders Instagram are saying that Mark Davis should apologize to Derek Carr. No, he shouldn't. Derek Carr was our quarterback for 9 years. I don't got no personal gripes against Derek Carr, but it was time for the team to make a move. I think in spite of everything that's gone on recently, McDaniels had Carr, and we were winning games despite Carr. Again, Derek Carr got off to a bad start last year, going 0-4 at one point, 2-6. And McDaniels was coaching his ass off. You know, he was. And Carr was giving games away late in games. That second half adjustment was just not there. Again, the same thing that they were talking about this Lions game. The defense was just out on the field too long. The defense was out on the field too long last year in most games. And the offense was not operating. It just wasn't. Derek Carr eventually got benched. And then he decided to take off in the Saints. And the Saints had the same fucking issue. Very mediocre, run-of-the-mill, average quarterback play. They have a little bit better team than we do. But nonetheless, about the same quality you're getting over there. And the fans are already moaning and groaning about Derek Carr. And it's like, you guys seen what he was. Don't act like this is something like so shocking. You know, because it's not. But the Raiders have dire... I don't know. I'm looking at the playing field of quarterbacks out there who could be possibly free agent. Tannehill? No, I think Tannehill's washed. And it's so interesting to see the NFL struggle right now, because the only quarterbacks they got, the legit ones they got, Patrick Mahomes, the dude from the Eagles, I think it's Jalen Hurts. Those are the only, like, I believe, stable-ish quarterbacks. Like, the NFL is no longer have a ton of elite quarterbacks in play right now. As a matter of fact, we have several very, very, I believe, terrible quarterbacks that are on good teams, like the dude from the Steelers, the Browns. Geno Smith is on a good team, but he's not a great quarterback. You know, Dak Prescott is not a good quarterback. He's just on a better team. Brock Purdy, did I already say him? Is a terrible quarterback on a good team. And eventually one of them is going to pop off and win one. But I don't believe that they're great quarterbacks. You know, the league used to be full of elite quarterbacks. I don't even know who the quarterbacks of the Colts are. It's just like, it's damn, like, the Raiders tried it, and I get it. The Raiders tried it. They tried to go with an old vet that knows. He's seen thousands of blitzes. He's seen real game time, but it didn't work. It didn't work with Derek Carr. It didn't work with Garoppolo. So I think we should try our hand at a young QB. I think we need a draft one. I think Mark Davis needs to sit down with his best football minds and come up with a plan of who is the best quarterback and the best suited for Vegas. And I think finally it's in an environment where enough of the Oakland aspect of the Raiders is gone now, because we've been in Vegas now a few years. I think we've got a great defensive leadership in Max Crosby. Max Crosby is the face of the defense. And I believe with him being sober and now he's a father, and his play and his work ethic really stabilizes the defense. It just does. I see it week in and week out that their defense is actually okay. When we don't play to our top potential on defense every game, but we do play to our potential, I think we played to our potential last week at Detroit. They just were too much on the field. I guess some teams have obliterated us, like the Bears for some reason. Okay, it's an off week. The Bills. Okay, I understand that. The Bills are a pretty good team. But all the other games, we've been pretty good. So, I mean, I think if we get a good offense to balance out that defense, we could ramp it up and we could secure. Marcus Peters, I'm up and down with him, and I get that they try to bring him in to be a ball hawk and to stabilize the top half of the defense. It sort of works, it sort of doesn't. I was ready, after that poor tackle against the Bears, I was ready to bench him, but then he comes out the next game and gets a pick six. That's what it is. But I do believe that the defense is on the right track to being its potential. I believe as soon as next year, like, if we can get the quarterback situation somewhat figured out. And I hope we draft a quarterback. We need to draft a quarterback. We need to draft one of these kids. Maybe it is a kid from USC. And I believe now that, again, we're in a good enough environment, I believe now that Vegas does present problems. So does any major city. But I believe, if we keep Devontae Adams, we keep Josh Jacobs, who's already had issues with, a DUI thing, and there's a learning process now, okay, there is fun things to do in Vegas, but you do not do them irresponsibly. Yes, there are clubs. Yes, there are all kinds of fun things. And I think the younger generation of quarterbacks aren't really involved in heavily into drinking and partying. A lot of them are gamers and nerds, and there's a lot of stuff there to keep them entertained on the off season. So I believe getting a young quarterback and bringing him up will be beneficial for the Raiders. And I believe, hopefully, that within the next couple of years, 4 or 5 years, we can get to that Super Bowl. And sadly, unfortunately, it does not look like it will happen this year in Vegas with our home stadium. But hopefully we do get to the Super Bowl. But it starts with you getting a quarterback. It's got to be the top priority of the team. I know a lot of people want Mark Davis to sell the team. And again, I believe that all the couch coaches and the couch general managers and the football fanatic managers believe that they could assemble a Super Bowl team tomorrow. But it's not. I actually was only I didn't even want McDaniels to go. I think if he was going to get fired, he should have done it at the end of the season. As soon as the last play was played, if we, did not make the playoffs, that would have been his last. I would have been okay with that. I believe this move is to symbolize, okay, look, players, we're doing everything we can to save the season, to try it. We're going to try it. Instead of continuing how we were, we're going to try changing it up. But I think as a player, they're okay, well, look, McDaniels is gone. We're going to bring in somebody with some intensity. We're going to start the young quarterback regardless, and we're going to basically, our season rides on whether or not AOC is anything that he showed in preseason. And honestly, I didn't see any of that in that Charger game. And maybe now he's got a taste of real football. Maybe he doesn't make the... Maybe he does. Maybe he comes out slinging the ball. Maybe he is our quarterback of the future. I don't know. I wouldn't know. I have no idea. I can't see the next 10 games in the future. I just believe... At the three quarterbacks, Hoyer had his shot at the Bears. He played poor too. AOC had a shot against the Chargers. He played very poor. Garoppolo's had a couple of shots and he played very poor. So I don't know what. I don't believe the answer. We don't have the answer at quarterback today. But maybe, just maybe, we'll give the kid a second shot. Maybe we'll give Hoyer a second shot down this next last couple games. Maybe something will change. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Mark Davis and the rest of them, maybe they know. Maybe they know something I don't know. I mean, and the thing is, the people want Mark Davis to sell the team. To who fucking who? They want Mark Davis to do this. They want Mark Davis to do that. Like, motherfucker, Mark Davis is, to me, has made all the right moves. He's handing out these coaches long-term contracts. Look, you're stable if you go, if you produce. And, you know, he's had to let go of a couple coaches now. That's not on him. I believe McDaniels wasn't a great option at coach, but it wasn't a bad one. Gruden wasn't a great option at coach, but it wasn't a bad one. Just circumstances happened. Moving the team out of Oakland to Vegas was that he deserves to stay the owner until he dies, I guess. Bringing in Davante Adams, great acquisition. You know, There's other things. Eventually, he had to move on from Derek Carr. I think the team was in agreement. I think most fans are in agreement. Great decision. It all comes back to just basically, I think he's doing a phenomenal job as an owner. He's out there promoting the brand at the Las Vegas Aces. You see him at the fights. He's promoting the brand. He's making it cool to be a Raiders fan. I think it's fucking cool being a Raiders fan. We're in Vegas. The motherfucker himself is cool. Like, it's cool again to be a Raiders fan. We just haven't had the wins attached with it. So hopefully that starts coming. But again, the Raiders fans, what did you expect? We are Raiders. We've been in misery for a number of years, so I don't really get the, as this train creeps by, I don't get the really the disparity in. But I think if you're a new Raiders fan, you're like, yeah, Josh McDaniels has to go. Yeah, we need to do something at the quarterback, and hopefully it gets done. That's what I want out of my team personally. I knew we needed the quarterback since last year. We tried it. I thought Jimmy G was at worst a lateral move from Derek Carr, if not better, because he probably knew McDaniel's system. So I felt some of those close games last year that we should have won would have gone our way this year. It did not go our way this year. It's looking the same, if not worse. And Garoppolo is not anything what we thought he was, that I thought he was going into the season. So that's just my Raider news. Obviously, Raider land, Raider, you know, it is what it is. I'll do a podcast. I'm going to the New York Giants game. I'm going to see all this bullshit. As it is the lucky happenstance, I get to see all this drama unfold in front of me in real fucking time in Vegas this Sunday, November 5. Because I'll be in fucking attendance. Shit. I get to see all of this in fucking real time unfold. I'll get to see if fans are fired up like they supposedly are on, online. I get to see if the team is fired up. You know, the Raiders put out a hype video for firing their coach, which is absolutely crazy. The Raider way. Absolutely fucking bonkers that they put out a hype video after firing their coach. And essentially, that's what it was. It was like, look, we're Raiders, we're going to change things, and we're going to, this is a hype video because it's a new day in the Raider, and we were a good team. We just need to show you to. We weren't showing it to you in the first several games of the season. Like, oh my God, they fucking put out a hype video for firing the coach. That's fucking crazy. And they did it within like 12 hours of letting him go. So they had Marshawn Lynch get up there and say some shit. That's fucking crazy to me. But it fired up the fans. I mean, that's what the fans wanted. And I mean, shit. But anyways, we'll come back and podcast about that next week. I'm going to get this one posted up right now. Or not next week, next couple of days. I'll get this one posted up later today. And catch you on the next one. Laters.